news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A bipartisan, bicameral group of lawmakers announced Monday night that they'd reached an agreement in principle on a spending deal to avoid another shutdown ahead of Friday's midnight deadline. The deal includes $1.375 billion for 55 miles of fences along the border, compared with the $5.7 billion Trump had sought for more than 200 miles of walls. Although the deal omits a strict new cap Democrats had sought on immigrants detained within the United States as opposed to at the border, it limits overall levels of detention beds maintained by ICE. To avert a shutdown, the deal needs to be written into final legislation and passed by both the House and Senate and signed by the president. So how would Trump reconcile the lack of wall funding? Reports say that the White House is firming up plans to redirect unspent federal dollars without invoking a national emergency. Done by executive order, the idea floated by Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is to shift money from two Army Corps of Engineers flood control projects in Northern California, as well as from disaster relief funds intended for California and Puerto Rico. The plan would also tap unspent Department of Defense funds for military construction, like family housing or infrastructure for military bases. News of the deal broke just before Trump was set to take the stage at his rally in El Paso, Texas.
And if it's Monday, it must be El Paso. That was the site of the president's rally tonight, and the counter rally headlined by Beto O'Rourke within sight of the president's venue. President went hard after O'Rourke. He went hard after the news media and the Mueller case and made his case for the wall all over again. While just minutes before he emerged on stage, word had arrived from Congress that they appear to have a deal in principle to stop this looming next shutdown. At one point, President Trump said the last government shutdown was important to show people what's going on at the border.
But you know what? If we didn't do that shutdown, we would not have been able to show this country, these politicians, the world, what the hell is happening with the border. That was a very important thing we did.
Outside the Trump rally, there was the Beto O'Rourke-led counter event. O'Rourke gave up his seat in Congress from El Paso for what became a losing Senate campaign against Ted Cruz. Nonetheless, he remains a voice and tonight went after the president on his treatment of immigrants.
We can show the rest of the country as we make our stand here together tonight that walls do not make us safer. Walls will require us to take someone's property, their house, their farm, their ranch, to build a wall at a time of record low northbound apprehensions. A president who describes Mexican immigrants as rapists and criminals. We have the chance to tell him and the country, immigrants commit crimes, including violent crimes, at a lower rate than do Americans who were born in this country. El Paso has been the safest city in the United States of America, not in spite of the fact that we're a city of immigrants, but because we are a city of immigrants.
By the way, inside the arena, as Trump continued his bizarre attacks on the media, one idiot in a MAGA hat shoved and swore at a BBC cameraman and other news crews before being pulled away. Freshman Representative Ilhan Omar came under fire over the weekend for what some are calling anti-Semitic tropes on Twitter. CNN has the story.
Ilhan Omar is now apologizing after House leadership and many of her fellow Democrats called on her to do precisely that. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer released this statement about her saying that, quote, use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel's supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks and we call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. And the backlash over this tweet, this is where this all started. She had tweeted, quote, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And it was her response to the message critical of the Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy for going after Congresswoman Omar and her support of the anti-Israel movement called BDS, or Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Later, Omar accused on Twitter the lobbying group AIPAC for paying politicians to be pro-Israel. So let's go straight to Capitol Hill and CNN's congressional correspondent there, Manu Raju. And so, Manu, what is the response now from Congresswoman Omar?
while she's offering an apology, she says anti-Semitism is real and I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear from me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. She goes on to say, at the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, the fossil fuel industry. She said it's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it.
It should be noted that when rebuked, Omar apologized. When Republicans rebuked Steve King of Iowa for embracing white nationalism, he simply railed against them. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.